Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 23, right after the book of 1 and 2 Kings, you find the books of 1 and 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles, chapter 23, and we're going to be reading verse 25 down to verse 32. Coming to the end of David's life, and David is setting things up for his departure. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Go ahead, if you can, stand with me this morning as I read. You can follow right along with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 25. For David said, "The Lord God of Israel hath given rest unto his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also unto the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of it for the service of thereof. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts, and in the chambers, and in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread and for the fine flour, for meat offering, and for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, and for that which is fried, and for all manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, and on the set feasts by number, according to the order commanded unto them continually before the Lord, and that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the holy place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service of the house of the Lord." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, what a blessing it's already been just being in your house. Thank you for the opportunity and for each one that's here that has taken advantage of their opportunity to be in church today. And I pray, God, for each one that they would be open and receptive to what you have for them through the rest of the service. I pray, God, that you would empower me and use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Here again we find that King David has made Solomon king at this particular time as he is setting things up for his departure. And not only would he address Solomon on building the temple, which we have permanent dwelling place for them to come and to worship God. Up to this point, they had the tabernacle, which came through the wilderness, but now is settled in the promised land. And Solomon was instructed on building the temple, and he would address, as we've read here, the Levites and the sons of Aaron on the services of the house of God. That's what he says there in verse 32, and all of these things that he said in the service of the house of the Lord. Verse 30, of all their responsibilities, none would be greater than what he gave in verse 30. Now, all of these other things were important, and they were all symbolic of certain things that God was doing for the nation of Israel. But this is what he says in verse 30, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise, at even. Now, just how they did this is not really recorded. It doesn't say, but the main gist was for the sons of Aaron, the priests, to be able to do this in a way that all of the children of Israel, on a daily basis and regular morning and evening, would hear from the tabernacle and then the temple, possibly the trumpets blowing, And the priest, somehow, some way, just giving out thanks and praise, whether it would be reading a psalm of thanksgiving and then reading a psalm of praise, but it was a reminder to all of the children of Israel on a regular daily basis as far as what God had done for them and who He was. I remember when I was in school, in public school actually, they would come over the intercom. I think they just started having the intercom systems through the school. And at that point, in the public schools, they used to open up the day with prayer and then announcements. And I'm not all that old, but a lot of things have changed. I think that made an impact on my mind, being in a public school and them thinking it necessary to help everyone to realize we want to ask for God's blessings on our day of school. So we find that this was something that God had instructed. Thanksgiving was designed by God for man to be very powerful. Can I tell you this more? I can testify to the power of thanksgiving because as I look at my life, back over my life, when I was giving thanks and praise to God is when I was serving God and doing right. When I stopped giving thanks and praise to God is when I started living in rebellion and running from God and the call of God upon my life. Those few years that I was out running from God, can I tell you, I didn't wake up in the morning thanking God and praising God. I did not go to bed at night thanking and praising God because I knew that I was living a life that was not going to be blessed by God. There's a connection there. God designed it for man. It's been said, if we leave God's throne of grace, which is our prayer closet, our praying with God, His throne of grace is coming to the throne of grace, that's prayer. If we leave God's throne of grace without peace, we have failed to praise Him. And you'll see this morning that the two go hand in hand. First of all, there has to be thanksgiving before you can have genuine praise. But being thankful to God will lead to praising God. In order for us to allow God to be fully God in our lives, we must praise Him in all things. We need to be thankful for all things if we're going to let God be God. Now, God will allow you to choose to make Him Lord or not. But if you're going to look to God as Lord, look to Jesus Christ as Lord, then you have to allow Him to do whatever He, God, is going to do in our lives. And therefore, if I am going to let God be God in my life, I must give thanks and praise Him. Amen. And that's exactly what God was teaching the nation of Israel on a daily basis. To live a life of thanksgiving, and not just say thank you, but live a life. That's what God is looking for. To live a life of thanksgiving is a command designed by God, and then as God understands why He designed it, then He commands us to do it. That's what He was doing with the nation of Israel here. This is something they did all the way through the wilderness. And now that they're in the promised land, God had got them through the wilderness, delivered them from Egyptian bondage, and now have given them the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And David now is turning things over to Solomon, and he is having Solomon's going to build the temple. But he said, these are the things that we need to continue doing. These are the things that God has established, and we must continue to do these things. And the most, I believe, as we read over this, the thing that stands out the most, and nothing is more important than this, that the leadership of Israel, those that were to represent Israel to God and God to Israel, on a daily basis, they were to stand and praise God, stand and give thanks to God, and then praise His holy name in the morning and in the evening. Verse 31, it says, and to offer all burnt sacrifice unto the Lord in the Sabbath and the new moons and the feast of the numbers according to the order commanded. All of these things were commanded unto them continually before the Lord. Command. What is that? Let me give you the definition. It kind of helps you to make this application. To require obedience. God understands that everything that He has prepared and designed for humanity to do is for humanity's own good. There, in every commandment that God has given to us, there is a blessing associated with applying that commandment and obeying that commandment in your life. So whatever it is that God has commanded us to do, can I tell you, it is beneficial for us to do just as God has commanded us. To require obedience, to exercise authority over. When you truly understand who God is, you'll want to be dependent upon Him. That's allowing Him to have the authority over us. I didn't understand a lot of what my dad did for me until after I moved out of the house. And ever since then, I've been wanting to go back and be dependent upon Him. He paid the bills. He kept the roof over our heads. He paid for the food to be placed on the table. He took care of us. And sometimes as children in the home, we don't understand the blessings of being under the authority of our parents because of what that means. It means that they're going to take care of us. We are dependent upon them. And once you understand who God is and understands He wants to be the authority over us, you will willingly say, Lord. Acknowledge, Lord, I'm yielding. I want to be accountable to You. I want You to be over me. I want to understand what You want me to do. I want to understand your commandments so that I might find the blessings of obedience. Yeah. God knew that it would be vitally important for Israel to be mindful of God and what He had done for them. And so He said, every morning when Israel wakes up, I want them to be reminded and I want them to give thanks and praise. No better way to start out your day. No better way to start out your day and thanking God for another day. Asking God to lead, guide, and direct you through it. Help me to be all that I can be and accomplish all that You have for me to accomplish as I go through this day. For God, only You knows what a day may bring. Only You know what I'm going to have to face today. And if I'm looking to You, I'll be prepared for it. And not only did God want them to start out their day by acknowledging him, but God wanted them, before they would close their eyes and sleep, before they would rest their head on their pillow at night, he wanted them, the last thing for them to think about, he said, I want you to think about who I am, what I've done for you. What I want you to think about before you pillow your head at night, I want you to think about who I am, and I want you to give thanks and praise. If you have that on your mind all night long, you might not have some of these nightmares. If you have that horror film that you just watched, or some of these other things going on, you're not going to sleep very well. But if you have God on your mind, if you have his presence on your mind, if you have thanksgiving on your mind, if you have praise on your mind, it might help you. I tell people when I go to the hospital and they're getting ready for surgery, I said, one thing you want to do is make sure that you have right thinking going into it. Because what you thought about going into it is what will be on your mind when you first come out of it. And you want to have right thinking. There's no better thinking to have than thanksgiving and praise. It's a command. It was a command in the Old Testament, and can I tell you, if you study the New Testament scriptures and the teachings of Christ, you'll find that this is a command in the New Testament, if not more so. 1 Thessalonians. Let me just go. I'm going to go through some verses. Just write them down. I'll tell you what they are, but you write them down. I might go faster than what you can follow. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, verse 18. As Paul is giving a list of things to the church at Thessalonica, which are very powerful, this one verse he says, verse 18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He is commanding them. He said, this is how you live your life. This is how God has designed New Testament Christianity. This is a very powerful thing that I want you to do on a regular basis in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians in chapter 5. The book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Having the right music in your heart and in your mind, and at the same time, giving thanks. Philippians in chapter 4, Philippians in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication when you're praying, and one of the most important things for you to have on your heart and your mind when you're going to God in prayer is thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a powerful thing to be thankful, especially when you're communicating with God. Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. No matter what it is you're doing, no matter what it is you're facing, the power of thanksgiving is there. God designed it, and he commands us, no matter what you're doing, be thankful. Be thankful. Hebrews in chapter 13. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, and there's much more. I'm just highlighting some of the scriptures here, but Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That brings that idea of praise. That is, where does that come from? The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So we find this praise. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. This idea of genuine praise can only come by way of thanksgiving. The commandment was to thank and praise. Because if you truly are thankful, it will lead to praise. See, anyone can go through the motions of praise and whatever you think that motion might be. And most of the time, they go through just physical motions. And they use music to stir up. They'll do whatever they want the flesh to do, and they think that they're actually praising God, and yet that's not genuine praise if that's all there is to it. Because genuine praise can only come by way of thanksgiving. Be thankful for what God has and is doing, and praise him for who he is. That's what it's all about. Be thankful for what God has and is doing. That's what they were instructed to lead the nation of Israel to be aware of. Who God is, what he has and what he is doing, and what he has and been doing will cause you to praise him for that. Just simply because of who he is. Can I tell you that God cannot do any wrong? But unless you're thankful for what he has and is doing, you will not get to that place. He is always right and worthy of praise. But unless you are thankful, you'll never get to that place. I tell people that have lost loved ones, no matter what the circumstances, one of the most important things for you to do while you make your way through this grieving process and as you make your way through this void in your life is be thankful. There's a lot of other things that the devil will try to put in your heart and your mind, but the most important thing for you to focus on when you're going through a grieving process is thanksgiving. God has given you that life, whether it was for one day or 100 years. Be thankful for it. That life has impacted your life in somehow or some way, whether it been for one day or 100 years. Listen to me. The most important thing is for you to thank God for how and what he has done in your life. And once you are thankful, once you truly get to that place where you are focused on those things of thanksgiving, you will be led to praise. Amen. It's just designed by God. It's a powerful tool that God has given to us and has commanded us to do, and yet we fail to do it. What a difference it makes if you start every day and end every night with giving thanks and praising our God. Psalms 126. This is a great psalm. I love it. It's a psalm of giving thanks. I'm sorry, 136. 136. This might have been one of the psalms that the priest would stand in the morning and read. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And you'll find that throughout this entire psalm, he continues to repeat that phrase, his mercy endureth forever. That's who he is. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who only doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, you go back down through, and it tells all the things that he's done. He's made the heavens. He's made great lights. He's made the sun to rule by day, and the mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars. He smote Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them to Israel. He divided the Red Sea. He made Israel to pass through on dry ground. He overthrew Pharaoh. He led the people through the wilderness. He smote great kings. He slew famous kings. All the different things that they were to remember and to be thankful for. And then he says in verse 26, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. He just gave them a list of things. And I'm guarantee you, if you'll take time and just make a list of things, it'll continue. It'll be a lot longer than what Satan wants you to think that it would be. Then Psalms 146. The second part of this is, once you've done that, it will lead to doing this. It will lead to praise. Praise you, the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. David learned this. This is something that is important. If we're going to be thankful, then we find that the natural process of giving thanks will lead you to looking to the one in whom brought those blessings into your life and worshiping and praising him. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes or in the Son of Man or humanity in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Man, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoner. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth him that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. Amen. We can make a list. And maybe that's what we need to do. Because it's a powerful thing. Designed by God. To give thanks. And to praise his holy name. The sad part of it is, not everyone will. Those who do, it's life changing. It's life changing. But not everyone will. Israel and Solomon would need to thank God for David passing this down. It's not a natural thing. It's something that has to be taught. One of the hardest things to get a strong-willed, stubborn-headed child to do is to say, I'm sorry and thank you. (Laughter) The stronger will, the stubborn, more stubborn they are. I mean, they'll give up food. They'll give up everything. I am not going to say thank you to my brother. Yeah. That's just the old nature. So we don't teach them? No, we teach them the importance of it. Because that is the beginning of changing their mentality. At one point, even those in places of government realized it's important to start out the day with prayer and thanksgiving. Let the students know that there's a God. If there's no awareness of God, and if there's no fear of judgment, you have what you have today in schools. You have what you have today in society. You lose sight of God, you lose sight of giving Him thanks for what He has done and is doing. When you lose sight of giving Him thanks for what He has done and is doing, then you will not praise Him. No matter how many religious services you go to, you will not genuinely praise Him. It has to be connected to and led by thanksgiving. Wow. See, Old Testament Israel had an enemy. And eventually, you know the story, and they turned them away from God, and they were defeated and led into captivity. And I think the main reason they failed to acknowledge God and give Him thanks. Romans in chapter 1. Let me just read a couple more verses to you. We're done. We're almost done here. Just finishing up here. But Romans in chapter 1, God reveals something that we need to be aware of. Not all will give thanks. Maybe they don't have somebody in their life telling them how important it is. If you have somebody, a Christian mom and dad, who raised you to be thankful, then you ought to give God thanks for them. If you've been in a church that preaches the word of God that helps you to understand the power of thanksgiving, then you ought to be thankful for that church. Amen. Not everybody has that influence. Not that it's not available, but not everyone will take advantage of that influence. The Bible says here in Romans in chapter 1 and verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. And if you're not acknowledging God and are thankful to God for what He's done, what He is doing, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Anyone that turns away from God is a fool. It's a fool that says in their heart there is no God. Anyone that fails to acknowledge Him through thanksgiving and praise is a fool. In the end times, the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 3, we find that God reveals to us some of the evils in the end days, in the end of time, before the rapture of the church. In the center of this list, in the very center of this list, is the key. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And here it is, unthankful. Goes on, unholy, without natural affection. Well, that's one you can circle. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And the center of that list of pretty evil things, God has recorded something for us all to take note of. Unthankful. Maybe we need to get back to what God designed for the nation of Israel. Parents, maybe we need to get back to what God designed for Israel to be done in our homes every morning. Give thanks and praise unto the Lord. And every evening, give thanks and praise unto the Lord. It's powerful, and it will make a difference. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Sometimes we just get into this Thanksgiving season, we focus on family and food, and praise the Lord for that. There's nothing wrong. I thank God for the opportunity for families to get together. But let's not lose the reason for the occasion. God designed it, and He commanded it. As He commanded it, it'll make a difference if we're obedient to it. Father, we bow before You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. Thank You, God, where it just opens up and shows us from Old Testament to New Testament and making a difference in our lives. And I pray, God, I thank You for those that have passed it down to us. As David passed it down to Solomon, I pray, God, that we would see the need to not only continue it, but also to continue to pass it down to the next generation. Bless in this invitation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.